So welcome, very big welcome to everybody on this week-long meditation retreat. So the title of the retreat is Our Breathing Bodies. So it's a little bit of a giveaway what the theme is and what the approach will be. Paramahansa will be saying a little bit more about that in a little while. So basically, what we're going to be doing this evening is there's a sort of welcome to the retreat. Give a little bit of an outline of this evening and of the retreat. Some practical matters and things like that. But also, it'd be really nice if we could do very brief introductions, just saying our name if you feel like where you are, and maybe if there's a sentence that you want to say that you'd like other people to know. Paramahansa, as I said, we'll talk about the retreat theme, and then we're going to go on to the sort of practice part of the evening, where we'll have a dedication ceremony. We'll be chanting the Amitabha mantra as a sort of practice in itself, and then we're going to go into a period of meditation led by Paramananda. So that's the sort of outline for this evening. So this is the sort of introductory evening for the retreat, and then from tomorrow the days will follow the same pattern where we have a meditation between 8 and 9, which will be unled, but there may be a poem or reading beforehand and bells during the sit. Then 10:30 till 12:30, there'll be a talk or some teaching input, and then followed by practice, meditation or ritual or chanting or a combination of those. And then in the afternoons, we'll be having groups and more practice and Q&A on at least some of the afternoon sessions. So that's basically the format of the retreat. So you'll have your evenings free. And I do suggest that if you can, you have a quiet evening and just sort of reflect or absorb. Even on an online retreat, it's amazing how deep you can go, actually. And I think the thing about when we're at home, it's so easy to just be on your device, switch off, or not even switch off, but just get into surfing the net or something. And before you know it, you haven't really stayed with what might have been emerging for you on the retreat. And I know that people will have commitments, and maybe you've got work commitments, family commitments you're trying to do the retreat alongside. But if you can simplify your life for this week while you're doing the retreat, I think you'll find it beneficial. So, yeah, let's just do some introductions and just sort of like say your name if you feel like comfortable saying where you are, and if there's anything that you'd like to say very briefly, maybe a sentence about that you would like to bring or let other people to know. So I'm Bodhi Leela, and I'm people, from all around and different continents and things, so coming together for this week of practice. So Paramahansa, do you want to say anything about the retreat theme?
As you, I've been asked to, so I better, haven't I? I don't know. It's a bit hard to know what to say, but I first started meditating when I was probably about 17, I think. And actually, the initial meditation I did was a transcendental meditation, of course. And in transcendental meditation, you use a mantra, and it's just sort of repeated silently to yourself. And then when I came across the Well, there's more to this story, but then when I came across Buddhist meditation, particularly the mindfulness of breathing, was about 20, 24, 27 or something. And I think my initial experience of being taught the mindfulness of breathing within what was then the Western Buddhist order that is now Sri Ratna. My initial experience, though, I think it was taught quite well in a way, But I think the mindfulness of breathing was taught to me where you're using the breath as an object of concentration, which of course is quite effective and in a way works as well, if not better, than using the mantra. Just as well, really. But I think in the last sort of 35 years, in a way, I've been interested in trying to explore the kind of potential of the breath beyond it being merely regarded as an object of concentration, something that we can fix or absorb the mind in. Of course, this is not unimportant and remains an important aspect of the practice. But I think for me, the breath opens up so much more than that. You know, its potential is so much richer than it just being an object of concentration. In particular, of course, allows us access to the body. It brings us more fully into our physical, sensational, emotional experience. I think it's this aspect of it which has probably been of most interest to me personally, is the way in which we can use the breath as a felt experience of our own kind of internal world, if you like. But then again, of course, it has this very profound and beautiful aspect where it connects us in a felt way, in a completely direct way, with the external world. Because, of course, the simple act of breathing in and out is a conversation or intercourse with the world. We are sustaining ourselves by breathing in the external world into the so-called internal world. So when we start to explore the breath in this sort of way, of course, it opens up the whole area of what Buddhism calls insight. And in addition to this, it's also a way of working directly with the heart, with the kind of emotional aspect. There are one or two practices where this is quite explicit, as in Tonglin or whatever. So the breath is used as a way of bringing awareness to the heart and also in opening the heart. Yeah. So these days I tend to think of the breath as something that runs through all of meditation, really. And as I began by saying, you know, with transcendental meditation, not other forms of meditation, the breath isn't explicitly part of it. So, of course, it's possible to meditate in a way where the breath is inconsequential in a way. But from my own experience or my own tendency as a meditator, has been that the breath has become more and more, what can I say, the central, the unifying, the exploratory, all these words I could use. The breath is really what gives meditation its flavor, because, of course, in a sense, the breath is the most fundamental thing we do. Yeah. It begins when we're born, and it ends when we die. So it's like this thread. I quite often think about it as a kind of thread that links all the different moments of our life. All our life, whether we're asleep, awake, aware or unaware, we're still grieving. And quite a lot of people, when they were saying their name, you know, mentioned it's like being here with people that they're familiar with, it's a bit like coming home. And I think this is another way I feel about the breath, because the breath is the basic way that we come home, both to our own bodies, to the world, and more an even reality in a way. The breath allows us to come home to ourselves in all these different ways. So I'm quite pleased that we're explicitly on this week going to be exploring what we can make of this fundamental and experience of just grieving in and out. Anyway, that's probably all I need to say. Or want to say.
Thank you, Paramananda. And it's amazing how much you said in that short amount of time. And how much, for me, it sort of encapsulates and suggests all the different things. And hopefully that we'll be exploring over the week. So, let's get down to some practices. So we thought we would like to dedicate the retreat, dedicate this virtual shared space that we're in, with the traditional dedication ceremony and call and response. And then after that, Paramananda is going to lead us in a period of chanting the Amitabha mantra and then in a meditation. And we may end with a final mantra depending on the time. So if you just want to get yourselves in your meditation posture, and do feel free if you want to stop the video now or any point during the retreat. Dedication ceremony. We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
We dedicate this place to the three jewels.
Sorry, I'm going to say we dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
We dedicate this retreat to the three jewels.
To the Buddha.
To the Buddha.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
The ideal of enlightenment to which we aspire.
To the Dharma.
To the Dharma.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
The path of the teaching which we follow.
To the Sangha.
To the Sangha.
The spiritual fellowship with one another which we enjoy.
A spiritual fellowship with one another, which we enjoy.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no idle word be spoken.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
Here may no unquiet thought disturb our minds.
To the observance of the five precepts.
To the observance of the five precepts.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the practice of meditation.
To the practice of meditation.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the development of wisdom.
To the development of wisdom.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
To the attainment of enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Though in the world outside there is strife.
Here may there be peace.
Here may there be peace.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Though in the world outside there is hate.
Here may there be love.
Here may there be love.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Though in the world outside there is grief.
Here may there be joy.
Here may there be joy.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the chanting of the sacred scriptures.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
Not by the sprinkling of holy water.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
But by our own efforts towards enlightenment.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
May the lotus petals of purity open.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
May the Vajra wall of determination extend.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
Around this mandala, this sacred spot.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
May the flames that transmute samsara into nirvana arise.
Here seated.
Here seated.
Here practicing.
Here practicing.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our mind become Buddha.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our thought become Dharma.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
May our communication with one another be Sangha.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the happiness of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
For the benefit of all beings.
With body, speech and mind.
With body, speech and mind.
We dedicate this retreat.
We dedicate this retreat. Okay, thank you, Bodhilila. So as Bodhilila said, we're going to start with chanting the mantra. So we're going to chant the Amitabha mantra. If you're not familiar with mantra or Amitabha, don't worry about it too much. Amitabha is a figure that represents both meditation and, in a way, unconditional love. And I'm not going to describe the figure. He's seated in meditation and he's a strong red color. He's got, I think we are, we can use mantra in different ways, and sometimes it's used primarily as a kind of devotional practice, and it's very useful in this way. And sometimes it can also be used more as a meditative practice. And of course, those two aren't mutually exclusive. But I suppose one of the differences can be that when it's done as a devotional practice, it can tend more towards singing in a way. And perhaps this is because we live in the West, and of course there's a very strong tradition of sacred singing within the Western tradition. When we use mantra more as a meditative practice, we shouldn't worry too much about that aspect of it. Yeah. Partly because one of the essential things we're trying to do when we meditate is to relax. So we want to, when we use mantra meditatively, we want to do it in a nice, relaxed, open way, which includes our voice. Yeah, see? I don't want people worrying about, I mean, on Zoom it's not so bad, is it? You're just sitting in your own space and nobody can hear you anyway, which is a sort of shame, because it's of course lovely to chant with other people and it can be very powerful, but it does have the advantage that you don't have to worry about what you sound like, insofar as it's not going to offend anybody else or whatever. And it gives you an opportunity just to chant in your natural voice, just to chant in a nice relaxed way in your natural voice, and not worry about being in tune or getting it right. But I just wanted to say that, just to encourage you just to try and feel it. In a way, with so much of Buddhism, so much of meditation, we're kind of interested in the felt sense, in a way. Sometimes we talk about it in terms of direct experience. We're kind of interested in direct experience. And then with mantra, in a sense, again, as I say, from a meditative perspective, if we're looking at mantra from that perspective, in a way we're interested in the sound of it, but we're also interested in the feeling of it. It's my sort of experience and belief that different mantras tend to activate different energetic centers in the body, and they also regulate the breath in different ways. The Amitabha is a nice mantra to do, because not only is Amitabha a very beautiful figure, if you're familiar with the kind of mythical aspect of the figure, but not only that, but because the mantra itself is very comfortable for most people to do in a single breath, in a relaxed sort of way, quite short. And it also has I've been noticing this quite strongly with Amitabha mantra lately. It also seems to have a natural energetic movement from the sort of root up to the crown, if that makes any sense. Don't worry about that. Don't try and make it happen, but just be sensitive to the kind of physical feeling of chanting. And we will be using chanting throughout the week, really, as one of the ways of working. Because, of course, chanting relies on our breath, doesn't it, quite clearly. So we are going to be using chanting as one of the methods of exploring the breath, and particularly exploring the breath in its energetic potentiality. Okay, that's enough, isn't it? So what we're going to do, we'll sit quietly for a few moments. When I'm ready, I will start the Amitabha mantra, and then you're just going to kind of join in at home, as you will. And we'll chant it a traditional number of times, 108 times. It doesn't take very long, really, because it's not a very long mantra. And when you're doing it, try and use it as a way of beginning to relax into your body. So try and keep the body nice and both aligned. So try and maintain your meditation posture. But at the same time, try and let it soften you. He's a very soft figure in a way. It's a very interesting figure, Amitabha, because he's got a deep red, it's deep love. In some aspects, it's particularly, it's certainly not exclusively, but it's particularly a love for our own being in a way, but not in an egotistic sense, but the sort of profound acceptance of what it is to be a human being. This is the sort of feeling I have for Amitabha. Amitabha is sort of wanting us or inviting us to accept ourselves deeply as we are, as human beings. And we're all our frailty, all our impermanence. And it's like, you know, it's a bit like the first stage of the metta, isn't it? This idea that really, if we don't cultivate this kind of rich, deep love for ourselves, whatever we do in the world, I wouldn't say it's useless, that would be going too far, but it will lack something, it will lack a certain quality, and in the dedication ceremony, we had a may that be joy, and I think that's the thing for me. You know, we can. You even find this in, well, of course you find it as well in a Buddhist context sometimes. You know, the people are doing very worthy and helpful things, but it's not always that much joy to it, or the joy kind of gets lost and. Or we get worn down, you know, this idea, you know, know, so many people kind of get burnt out, don't they, or you know, exhausted by what they do and this sort of thing. And somehow this relates to this cherishing, you know, this anyway. I wasn't going to talk really about it, so I think I shut up. So we sit quietly for until I feel okay. So get yourself comfortable and posturally try and avoid pulling your head back when you chant. Tendency of people when they sing, but try and keep the head nicely balanced, face relaxed. Om Amideva Re. Om Amideva Re. Om Amideva Re. Om Amideva. Oh, Amideva. Om Amideva. Amideva. Vasudevadeva. Devari. Om Amidevari. Om Amidevari. Om Amidevari. Just allowing the breath to settle. Maybe just go down to your diaphragm, just noticing how the diaphragm moves to accommodate the breath out and down, isn't it, as we breathe in. In that movement in the rib cage, the whole or the torso is kind of opening up to receive the breath. Create space for the lungs to fill with this vital air. Your face relax now. Probably feel the air on the skin of your face. And it soften your face a little. So the breath in the back of your body, feel how your scapulas, your shoulder blades open, away from the spine, gently fall back on the out breath. Allow yourself to enjoy your body breathing. The most fundamental thing we do in the most fundamental way we participate in the world, we grieve. One tiny way we maintain and create the atmosphere that we live in. As you breathe in and out. just notice what the breath feels like. What the physical activity of breathing really feels like. Certainly the whole of your torso is involved in this breathing, isn't it? Those different muscles engaging and relaxing. Those bones articulating. Where does it take you down to? Where does it gather you? Lungs sort of draped around the heart. Supported by the belly there. What does it feel like to let go, release back into the world? As if we're gathering the world to our heart. Releasing the heart back into the world. All that green, all that light. Not really you breathing at all, is that you're breathed? Breathed by and into the world. every living thing in the world breathes in some way or other, participates in the world. Co-creates, sustained by the world. Breathing in and breathing out makes you part of the world. Belong in life because you breathe in and you breathe out. but before we end, let's just allow ourselves to be aware of the other people. The beginning of this retreat. Breathing in and breathing out. The same way that we breathe in and breathe out. Thinking about birth in the poem Kindness by Nye. He says, or you know the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel to where the Indian in the white poncho lay dead by the side of the road. You must see how he too traveled through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. thank you all for coming, and see you tomorrow.
Thank you.